This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Relax on the road this fall with the peace of mind you get from Michelin Tires, because through September 21st, you can get $70 via MasterCard reward card after submission when you buy any set of four new Michelin passenger or light truck tires, including the new Michelin Premier All-Season Tire. Visit your local tire experts at Taylor Tire and Auto on the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield. See redemption form for complete offer details. Offer expires September 21st, 2014. Void where prohibited. Reward card issued by U.S. Bank pursuant to a license from MasterCard International Incorporated.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, be sure to get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct financing at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers farm-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to a year. Ag Direct also features easy applications, fast credit decisions, and is offered by Farm Credit Illinois. People who understand agriculture. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. Get a good deal on farm equipment financing with Ag Direct, available at your ag equipment dealer. Check our attractive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Now with part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Monday morning, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
Thank you. Here are Friday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. September corn, 365 and a half, up 3 1/4. December corn, 371 and a half, up 2 1/2. March corn, 384 and a quarter, up 2 1/2. September soybeans, 1166, up 29 3/4. November soybeans, 1042, up 3 3/4. January soybeans, 1048 3/4, up 3 1/2. September wheat, 552, up 5 3/4. December wheat, 562 1/4, up 6 3/4. March wheat, 580 1/4, up 8. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. And first of all, the Illinois country grain prices, they ended higher on Friday afternoon. Good demand is driving the soybeans higher, while rain in the northwest is delaying the wheat harvest, pushing prices higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 5 cents at 357 to 380. Soybean bids mostly 4 cents stronger at 1193 to 1296. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 4 cents at 354 to 384, while soybeans were 4 to 19 cents higher at 1202 to 1342. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 to 7 higher at 355 to 379. Soybean bids mostly 4 cents stronger, ranging from 1160 to 1281. And the wheat bids up 6 to 7 cents on Friday, ranging from 459 up to 512. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were up 24 to 75 cents on Friday, ranging from 1362 to 1382. Basis 20 to 70 cents stronger, range from 320 to 340 over November. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of 558.30 up to 613.30, which was up $44.50 to $59.50 per ton, with basis $25 to $40 per ton stronger, range from 125 to 180 over September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up 3 to 13 cents at 391 to 416, with basis steady to 10 cents stronger at 25 to 50 over September. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids steady at 373 to 391, basis down 3 cents at 7 to 25 over September. Soybeans ended 4 to 9 cents higher on Friday, ranging from 1077 to 1292, with basis steady to 5 cents higher at 35 to 250 over November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mostly 4 cents higher at $4 up to 401. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by mostly 4 cents, with quotations at 11.82 to 12.92. Soft red winter wheat up 6 cents at 5.04 to 5.07, and the Milo mostly 17 cents lower on Friday at 3.66 to 3.72. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those areas for new crop corn range from 334 up to 341. New crop soybean bids at 992 to 1031. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 331 up to 344. New crop soybeans at 996 to 1024. And in the southern part of the state on Friday, new crop corn bids range from 337 up to 352. And the new crop soybean bids range from 1013 up to 1033. That completes our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Friday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. August live cattle, 151.85, up $2.20. October live cattle, 147, up $1.45. December live cattle, 149.85, up $1.25. August feeder cattle, 216.10, up 90 cents. September feeder cattle, 210.90, up $1.57. October feeder cattle, 209.47, up 87 cents. October lean hogs, 92.87, down 75 cents. December lean hogs, 87.15, down 40 cents. February lean hogs, 86.52, up 7 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you Friday the 22nd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.53 lower in the range of $86 to $96.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $94.73. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading $2 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were $66 to $71. 4 to 5 weights, 70 to 76, 5 to 6 weights, 74 to 79, and 6 weights and up, 75 to 80. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading unevenly steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $63 up to $70. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 12,359 head, and now the report from Fairview Sale Barn. Special feeder cattle auction, starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, four weights. Fancy four weights were 312 to 316. Five weights were 254 to 255. Six weights were 224 to 244. Seven weights were 228 to 231. On to the feeder heifers, medium and large ones. They had three weights, bring 249 to 284. Four weights were 239 to 256, with some fancies at 318. Six weights were 224 to 233. Now moving on to the Schuyler Livestock Auction Report. They had receipts of 253 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 150 to 157.75. Select and choice 152 to 154. Choice heifers 150 to 158. And select heifers were 135 to 152.50. Now moving on to the Walnut Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 479 head. Choice slaughter steers were 150 to 156. Select and choice were 145 to 148. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 138 to 144.50. And choice slaughter heifers 150 to 155. On to the slaughter cows. They had some premiums, bringing 124 to 135 and high dressing 142 to 148. Breakers were 105. Boners were 102 to 109. and liens were 87 to 98. Now in the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were 151 to 156, and on a dress basis, 242 to 245. Heifers on a live basis were 152 to 156.50, and on a dress basis, 242. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 310 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 103.60, and that was $2.58 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $249.77, that was 69 cents lower, and select carcasses were $239.66, and that was $1.16 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 115,000, that compared to 112,000 last week and 120,000 for a year ago, and that's 7% less on a year-to-date basis. Hog slaughter was estimated at 345,000, that compared to 395,000 last week and 428,000 a year ago, and that represents a negative 5% on a year-to-date basis. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
That's all for part one of this morning's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
And part one of the morning farm show brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. At 621, color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge and know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
The National Weather Service has issued an excessive heat warning. It will be in effect until Tuesday night at 8. Sunny skies today. High temperatures in the mid-90s with light south winds. Clear skies tonight. Low temperatures in the mid-70s. For tomorrow, Tuesday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers. High temperatures in the mid-90s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy and cooler, with a day-to-day chance of showers, low temperatures in the upper 60s, high temperatures in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, light south winds, the barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 75 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Bunker Hill schools will dismiss early both today and Tuesday. The Staunton VFW Hall will be open as a cooling center from 11 until 10 today and tonight. Coming up next, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield.
Hi, this is Kyle Bishop from Bishop Motors. The Motor Trend Truck of the Year, the 2014 Ram 1500, has low financing with great rebates, and we have a nice selection to choose from. We also have one remaining 13 Dodge Avenger loaded, and we're selling below invoice. And the all-new Chrysler Town & Country and Dodge Grand Caravan have 0% for 72 months and a $1,000 rebate. Right here at Bishop Motors, where your word and handshake makes the best deals.
Now with part two of the Morning Farm Show, we join WSMI Farm Director Angela Besch.
Thank you. Porcine epidemic diarrhea virus has the reputation of taking the summer off, so to speak, and re-emerging again in cold weather. Dr. Gene Nemchek, Technical Services Veterinarian with Zoetis, is currently working with swine producers and swine veterinarians and says it's time to reevaluate some biosecurity measures.
Well, I think most of them are continuing to think about that, so therefore they're thinking about their transportation issues tend to be a fairly high risk spreading the virus. And so biosecurity around transportation for pigs in and out of the farms is a very big issue that most of the producers will be concerned about.
One company has released a vaccine for PEDV, and another is due out soon. But Nemchek cautions producers not to rely solely on the vaccines.
They haven't really been that great as far as vaccines against the coronavirus, and that's what PED is a coronavirus. And the vaccine on the market now today and the one that's coming on with the conditional license would both be killed vaccines, and those tend to be somewhat less efficacious in controlling the disease.
Some facilities have been successful at eliminating PEDV from a farm, says Nemchek, through biosecurity measures.
Well, there have been production companies and production systems that have been able to eliminate the virus within a herd, and they've been able to do it through very strict biosecurity, very strict sanitation and disinfecting within the farm system. And then they have to be careful that they don't reintroduce the virus back into the farm. So there are farms that have had PED virus and the disease on the farm, but they've been able to eliminate the virus. So their biggest concern is how do we keep the virus from getting back in if it continues to circulate within the pig environment.
But Nemchek feels, as most do, that more research is needed.
I think that we still need to do a lot more research in following up on why the pig's immune system doesn't seem to give a long-lasting immunity to an infection, because we have pigs that seem to re-break following recovery from the disease. So more in research is needed. Probably more research in production of better vaccines would be very helpful to the producers in controlling the disease.
Both public and private entities are working diligently to find an effective control of PEDV, and Nemchek says it's an ongoing effort.
Oh, it's very serious. It's killed a lot of pigs and had big economic impact on a lot of the pork producers today, and we still don't have a very good control method yet, so we need a better control method.
Technical Services Veterinarian Dr. Jean Nemchek. Landowners are growing increasingly more concerned these days about how much their farms are worth. Todd Gleason has more on how the downturn in commodity prices may not exactly signal a big setback in the price of farmland.
Farms in the United States have grown dramatically in value since 2006. This rapid push upward coincided with a huge increase in the price of commodities grown on farms throughout the nation, and specifically in the Midwest. Prior to 2006, a high price for corn might be above $3 a bushel. It topped out at $8 since then, and the $3 mark, well, that's a guaranteed loss for a farmer, most likely. However, farmers are looking at $3 corn today, even some $2 corn prices. Naturally, they are concerned the price of one of their biggest assets might fold, too. However, Bruce Sherrick is not nearly so concerned. He works at the Center for Farmland Research at the University of Illinois.
We can't find that there's a direct link, as some people might guess, for a couple of reasons. First of all, because higher yields result in lower prices, the product of which is revenue, may not have moved as much as just the yield or price side alone. But more importantly, the income expectations farmers have about land over the long run aren't changed completely just by 1 year's experience. So a common thing to do when you're looking at the value of an asset is to say, what income can it generate through time, and what would I pay for that sequence of income realizations through time?
Here's what that statement means. Farmers, while they have bid up the price of farmland, seem to have underpriced it in the highest commodity price era, with the understanding it would not be that valuable over the long haul.
Very much like you would think of the PE ratio in the stock market or any other financial investment. If you simply said, what would the implied value of farmland be if the income that was realized was permanent? In other words, if we were going to get that forever at the same rate under today's conditions. So a common cap rate we use, or capitalization rate we use, is the 10-year CMT. This is not to suggest that farmland is a 10-year risk-free investment like the 10-year CMT or the constant maturity treasury rate is, but they proxy well for each other empirically through time. So if you divide the income that farmland generates by that interest rate, or get the number of times you would pay, in a sense, for permanent income, what you discover is the implied rate of farmland is actually higher than the farmland values that we observe at sale.
This isn't to say the price of farmland won't drop, but rather that the risk of a major decrease is not nearly so linked to the lower price of commodities. This is because the farmland was likely purchased with a lower price in mind. I'm Todd Gleason.
Thursday night, the 2014 Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour finished the week-long Corn Belt trip as both the eastern and western legs met in Rochester, Minnesota for the final meeting of the tour. Some of the scouts and many of the farmers, brokers, and those that have a stake in agriculture commodities may have been surprised to see some of the lower numbers coming out of Iowa corn and soybean fields on day four, but Peter Meyer, a market analyst with Pyra Research Associates in New York, was not baffled at all. He has made a handful of road trips through the Hawkeye State in recent weeks.
There's been a lot of discussion about central Illinois being so good and less discussion about southern Minnesota and northeast Iowa being so bad. I mean, where it's good, and where it's bad, it's average. So how that's all going to shake out is going to be very interesting to see once we get to harvest and the numbers become a little bit more concrete. The discussion about how tough things are in northeast Iowa and in southern Minnesota, I've seen it for myself now.
Meyer described what he saw on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour Thursday as not bad, just not Iowa. He says there's no doubt a lot of corn and soybeans are growing nicely from Ohio to South Dakota, but as Meyer looks back on the week, there were a few areas of concern throughout the Corn Belt.
There's obviously record potential out there for both crops, but I mean, there are some really dry areas. Whether you go from western Ohio, eastern Indiana is very dry. Western Indiana and central Illinois have enough moisture to finish. Northern Illinois does not have enough moisture to finish. There are some sections of Iowa that could probably make it, but then there are other areas of Iowa that need some moisture. And up here in Minnesota, while we sat through the rain, it was not enough to make a difference, in my opinion.
Pro Farmer will release final results for the crop tour as a whole. To see the results for yourself, you can go online to www.profarmer.com. The Montgomery County Yield Survey will take place Tuesday, August 26th, starting at 8 a.m. at the University of Illinois Extension Office in Hillsboro. Everyone will break into groups to survey crops across the county to estimate yields, and then meet back at the Extension Office by noon to share the results. If you would like to attend, you can contact Amanda Cole at 217-532-3941. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.